Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the allegedly irradiated. Which is good for the economy, because now everybody's got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb, which is probably why the Prime Minister says the economy's on track to a nuclear facility. And my very special guest today is Warren Voigt. Welcome to the program, Warren.
Hey, Vinnie, how you doing?
Yeah, well, somewhat fabulous is my pretty stock-standard response there. Could you give us a little bit of background about yourself, who it is, who you are, what you do, that kind of thing?
Okay. Born and bred Dunedinite and...
I'm sorry.
Well, don't be, mate. I've given up being sorry. I'm just trying to do something about it now. And
So when did you move out of Dunedin?
No. I'm still here. But
I'm sorry.
Trying to drag us back out of the regions and... you know, that's part of the motivation for my political activism, because I think basically we're being shoved into a corner, but that's a subject we'll get to. I'm a health practitioner at a local medical centre. I practice deep tissue massage and Bowen therapy. And, I've lived here my whole life, done a whole range of things, mixed with a whole range of people. And at 57 years old, I've figured out a few things, and I've figured out that the country's not going the way that it should, and it's either go to sleep like the rest of the people out there, or, you know, try and wake a few of them up and sort of give them a few facts of life that at least they've got to think about.
Such as?
Well, the way the banking system works will be a good start. It's the elephant in the room, and... this would be my second general election campaign, and it was last time round I was pretty green at it. I've learned a bit in 3 years, I guess. But one thing that I have figured out is that people, even although on a sort of fairly basic level, they will nod and agree that something's not right with the finance system. When you try to explain the difference between the way things are being done, in other words, private bank system of usurious interest and mountains of debt versus a similar sort of system like a social credit system, then they kind of go to sleep, or they say, oh, it's just too difficult. But what they don't realise, of course, is that the private banking system is actually simple. They just make it look difficult so that everyone will just sort of follow along. And we've been conditioned for generations into believing that somehow or other banks operate in a completely different way than what they actually do. And I've known about the errors of that way of thinking ever since 1978 and when I first saw Bruce Beetham speak in the general election, and he was up against Rob Muldoon and Bill Rowling. And Bruce Beetham said twice as much in half the time of the other two put together. And I knew at that stage he was onto something they weren't, and I haven't yet to see or hear any evidence to the contrary. So when I re-entered the sort of political area and first stood as a candidate for Dunedin South last election, it was interesting that some of the thoughts and writings that I'd put down probably 20 years before that, when I sort of went into hibernation politically and just got busy with raising a family and what have you, it was interesting that those notes that I had taken and the sort of things that I predicted might happen have actually come to pass. Now, I'm not really, wouldn't claim to be an economist, but I do claim to have a bit of common sense. And for that reason, I felt...
Is that what you think differentiates you from an economist?
Well, yeah, I think that's probably about it. You know, they do say, I've heard it said quite nicely, that you don't need economists to have an economy. But you do need people with common sense in order to get a bit of sanity back into the world. And I think that's basically what's lacking at the moment.
I mean, well, my conclusion is, as a young man, the reason why the world appears so crazy is because crazy people are in control of it.
Well, that's a fairly good assumption, and I don't know whether they've just been brainwashed and don't know the difference, or whether or not they do know the difference and they're just taking advantage of it.
I think it's a little bit of column A and column B. It's kind of like a two-tiered system. You've got the moronic, brainwashed dumbasses down here, and then you've got the elite, psychopathic, high IQ, evil scum up the top, who are incidentally really good at brainwashing.
Oh, yeah, I totally believe that, you know. You'd have to ask yourself. Doesn't it always seem funny how that politicians never seem to do anything that ultimately transpires or translates into the good of the people generally, and yet that's the basis that they get in on. And I was never able to work that out until, you know, a few years ago, and I thought, well, probably the only reason for that is because that's not their true modus operandi anyway.
It's kind of like if you work backwards, sort of like a Sherlock Holmes novels. I believe the author of those actually started off at the end, and then he work his way back in order to figure out the novel. So I have the same approach with politics. You don't say what they say. You don't look at precisely what they say beforehand or whatever, or what they promise they're going to do. Just have a look at what they actually do, and then the intention becomes clear.
Yeah, that's right.
So if they come in and they say, we're going to save the economy, and then in their first term they borrow more money than all previous prime ministers combined, then the intention is pretty obvious.
Well, that's right. But, I mean, you know, we've had, especially since Roger Maronix, we've had...
Roger Maronix is brilliant. I love it. Sorry, continue.
I just like to keep it light. But, you know, I was working for good old New Zealand Rail back in the 1980s, and so I've got a bit of experience and understanding as to what transpired. Now, don't forget that, you know, we've got a Labour Party at the moment that are going out there and saying about how they're, you know, they're actually not subscribing to neoliberal economics and all the rest of it. Well, it was Richard Preble that ran up and down the country in a campaign, as I remember it, saying to save rail, and then they turned around and sold it. And, you know, of course, that was all part of the whole devious plan by Roger Douglas, Michael Bassett, Richard Preble, and David Cagle. I don't so much subscribe to the theory that David Longy was actively involved in that. I think he was actually duped by those, and I kind of think that if you see
I can confirm that for you, actually. The last person to interview him was Jonathan Eisen, who publishes Uncensored magazine and the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine.
Yep.
In that final interview, that's precisely what Longy said, that he was basically set up and duped by these people, and he was really expressed his lament and regret about what he wound up doing to the country, unbeknownst to himself, and then he died.
Yep. He was probably one of those people that had a great intellect, but he didn't always have his feet on the ground.
Well, just because you're bright doesn't mean you know how to avoid people manipulating you and be able to figure out all the warning signs of scumbaggery that you need to avoid. You know? Yep.
Well, that's actually a case of it's often been said that people with high IQ have low EQ. In other words, you're dead right. That's another way of saying what you've just said. And so, you know, really, the Labor Party sold New Zealand out. They subscribed to, you know, a similar situation such as what was laid out in the shock doctrine. If you've probably seen that, have you?
I've actually interviewed the author of that book. Yeah,
yeah, fantastic. The documentary that I saw, you know, it just all fell into place. If anyone sees that and they see what happened over in Chile and subsequently in other countries, and the remarkable thing to me is that, you know, the Douglas reforms were perpetrated on this country, and then they were successively carried out by subsequent Labor and National administrations, and now we're ramping it up one more with the sort of thing that Keyes and his cronies are doing. And what amazes me is that at the time when it should be blatantly obvious what's going on, people somehow or other are saying, oh, you know, these guys, you know, we've got a rock star economy. Well, I think they live, A, in a parallel universe, and B, they've got rocks in their head. And as someone once said, you know, it's a one-hit wonder. It's not a rock star economy at all. And you've only got to live in Dunedin to see that. You know, we've lost 5,000 or 6,000 jobs in the past 5 or 6 years.
If I may, it's closer to a porn star economy because everybody gets, you know.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, if you take the TPPA, or I call it the treacherous politicians' prostitution arrangement, you know, that we're just being sold out down the toilet, basically.
And, well, incidentally, my philosophy on the TPPA is that we should use it for TP when we need to PP at a PPTA meeting.
Yeah, probably more use, probably a lot more use. Mm.
Slightly more rough, but sorry, continue.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, so I experienced the Douglas economic so-called reforms, and you know, watched things unfold in the years subsequent, and most of the things now, you know, I can sort of say, well, that's the sort of things that I thought might happen eventually. But I have to say that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, of course, I was a bit naive and I didn't really understand the mechanisms of what's going on. And, you know, but it's abundantly clear now what is going on. And to me, what's interesting is that the party that I'm running for this time around, you know, we've just celebrated 60 years as a political party. We're the third longest surviving party in New Zealand, and our message has been consistent, that of monetary reform. In fact, if we'd had monetary reform all those years ago, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in now.
Well, you know what they say, you can't turn back the clock, but you can execute the bankers.
Well, who knows what's going to happen, Vinny, and, you know, we wouldn't like to sort of to know that, but all I know is that, you know, we're pushing the message really hard, and I must admit that compared to the last election, you know, there's a groundswell of support for, you know, what we're doing, and we're getting an increase in numbers, and we've got a pretty good range of candidates this time around. And the difference too is that this time around, you know, there are other monetary reform organisations that are sort of becoming more prominent on the scene, and there have been other measures that are starting to occur worldwide that are kind of making it clearer to people, you know, the errors of the current banking system, and that things, you know, there are alternatives. Did you hear the result in the recent Italian elections where Beppe Grillo, who was actually a comedian, by the way, funnily enough, he polled 30% of the vote, and he was a monetary reformer.
How brilliant is that?
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty good. But you look over at the EU, they're looking to invoke financial transaction or Robin Hood tax. What's your take on that, Vinny?
Well, anything with the word Robin in it, you know, instantly a bit of a put. Basically, what this is just a wealth extraction from people who have any equity and what have you, and there's probably earmarks or goodness knows what else inside that legislation to just say, hey, if you're incredibly biatch wealthy or whatever and you donate to X charity, etc., etc., you don't have to pay that. And then there's also the 1% transaction tax, and what was the other one? The capital gains tax. And
I'm
getting to the point where it's like, bro, the only thing, almost, that we do with our tax money is give it to the foreign bankers, all right? And the only reason why we have to keep giving our money to the foreign bankers is because the foreign bankers control our money, not us.
Mm,
I mean, did I miss something?
No, you've got it in about one. But my belief is that a better answer lies in a better question. And I challenge basically anyone out there this time around, or in fact any time, to ask anybody that wants their vote what they would do to reform the private banking system. And it doesn't matter what the answer is, but the question needs to be asked. And in fact, at the last election, one of the first candidates' debates that I attended, someone from the audience asked the Clare Curran and Materia Ture, what would they do to control the private banks? And it was interesting because the response was like an echo. It was, oh, you can't do that. Okay, so you can't do it, so why can't you do it? Now, when it gets down to that, that's the bit that you won't get an answer from. I remember running into David Clark, that's right, just after the last general election, and I had a bit of a chat to him because I run against him, well, not directly, he was Dunedin North, but I said to him, in general terms, you know, about things like the financial transactions tax. And he said, well, you know, he says, we kind of agree with a lot of what your party is on about. He said, but there's a line we won't cross. And, you know, at that point, he got out of there as quick as he could because he knew there was another awkward question coming. And that's the thing we've got to keep doing. We've got to highlight, you know, the little boy has got to stand up in this country and say, guess what? The emperor isn't wearing any clothes. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, people go around and they avoid asking. We're not very good at asking, you know, when there's two things in New Zealand we're not good about doing or talking about. One is asking awkward questions, and the other is talking about money. And trouble is, if you put those two points together, then you can see why, if you're a candidate in an election with a monetary reform platform, then people kind of like blank it out because it gets too difficult for them. And
I think the news media, along with all these things, I mean, I'm not sure if the last time you've watched mainstream news, but it's been a while for me.
Yeah.
I just kind of realized that there's nothing of value there. And what I was looking at was these little rundowns that they have of, like, the economy, our warehouse is up 6 cents or that's down 5 cents or whatever. And I thought to myself, that doesn't explain a single thing about how the economy works, how the monetary system works, or anything. But it looks really complicated and fancy, so the vast majority of idiots out there, publicly educated idiots mostly, will just go, too complicated. So at that point, it forces a block into the brain. It's kind of like when you're trying to swallow something, You know, something closes off to make sure that you're swallowing something and it actually goes down your throat into your stomach rather than going into your lungs, generally speaking, right? Yep. And so what's happened is this block has happened to stop any information, real information about the economy, getting through into any of the brain places where they will stick in the synapse.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a case of making it seem more complicated than what it is. Did you see a few weeks ago there was a TV One news item on how banks loaned money?
No.
Okay. So what they did, in fact, was it was just to do with the economy in general, and so they thought they'd run a little public relations exercise there for the banks, and they said, okay, so the depositor deposits $100, and they showed a $100 note going into the bank, and then the bank loans out that $100 and it keeps 10 that it already had in there. It loans the $100 out at 7.5% and it pays the depositor 5% and it takes the 2.5% difference less tax. Well, nothing could be more factually incorrect if you tried. And so one or two...
Which banks advertise with TV One?
Yeah, well, that's true. You know, I mean, there's no denying that. And what we did was we put an email to them straight away and said, well, actually, that's not right. We want you to withdraw and you know, correct it. And they ignored the email. So we took it to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. And then further to that, I wrote a letter to the Otago Daily Times. And I'll read it out to you. It's not long. And I said, "Dear Sir, recently an item aired on TV One News supposedly explaining to the uninformed viewer the mechanism by which banks create loans. The item was factually incorrect and completely misrepresented the reality of how money is created by private banks. In fact, a loan is created simply as a credit entry into the borrower's account, creating a liability to the borrower, but an asset for the bank due to the interest-bearing earning potential of the loan. Depositors' funds held by the bank are not loaned out and never leave the bank. They are, in fact, a liability and are used as the basis for a system called fractional reserve lending, being loaned against on a ratio of between $10 to $20 of loans created against every dollar on deposit. A communication to TVNZ pointing out that factual error was ignored. It's time the myths of the banking were corrected. The facts from now on, please." And usually there's a bit of fancy dancing with the ODT because they're part of the old boys network and they will print our stuff, but it usually gets delayed a little bit or they'll try and fudge it sometimes. As it was on this particular occasion, I sent the item into them about 10 o'clock in the morning, and about 4 hours later, I had an email saying this item has not been selected for publication. And I found that quite strange, actually, but it says a lot about how much they'll try and suppress the facts. Maybe they can't handle the truth, as Jack Nicholson said.
Yeah, well, most people can't because it's sort of like if I were to throw a 100-kilo dumbbell at you, okay, yep. And you'd never pick one up in your life. It'd hurt you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And the same thing is true of compelling truth.
Yep.
If you have never received any alternative to the lie, yep, it will be an intensely traumatic experience that often results in psychological damage. Like the grief process, for instance, when a loved one dies, you go through those stages. You go through denial, anger, depression, then finally acceptance. So when you tell people about these things, they deny, right? Mm-hmm. Unless they've already gone through the denial stage, and then they get angry at you. Unless they've already gone through the angry stage, and then they listen to you and get really depressed. Yeah. Unless they've already gone through that depression stage.
Yeah.
And then finally, you'll meet somebody who actually accepts it.
Yep, exactly. But, you know, I mean, I think that it's a case of we can't shrink back from the facts, and those facts about how banks operate are published by the Bank of England, the IMF, and the Reserve Bank. They are
readily publicly available reference documents.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know whether you call it messianic or what the hell you want to call it.
I call it Masonic, but yeah.
Well, possibly not, but...
I'm just too kidding. Yeah, what I don't get about the Otago Daily Times is, you know, they won't report that, you know. And also, at the same time, you know, you have a look at what's just happened today with Planet Key, the great hit song that's actually starting to go up on the charts, being banned from broadcast.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. As someone said, would they have banned Big Norm on the same basis? Do you remember the song by the group Ebony?
No, but I remember what Voltaire said. If you ever want to know who runs your country, find out who you're not allowed to question.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And hey, Vinny, I'd recommend that you go and check out Big Norm by Ebony, and it's a bit of a laugh, actually, and it was very, very apt for its time, and it talked about a lot of the political figures back then, of course, including Norm Kirk, and he was probably one of the last true great politicians that New Zealand had, actually, and in the end, they got to him too. If you believe some of the reports.
It happens. Unfortunately, Warren, we have run out of time for this interview here, and so last thing I'd love you to do is quickly, in 30 seconds, give us any contact details or websites or your party central contact, that you, anything you think is relevant.
Yep. Well, if you want to get in touch with me, you can do it on my Warren Voigt for DSC Facebook page, or you can get a hold of Democrats for Social Credit's web page, and if you just type in, go into Google and type in www.democrats.org.nz, and that should do it. My email is wazaway@hotmail.com. That's right. And I'd be more than happy. Facebook page is very busy at the moment, and things are going well. We're rocking into the election and looking forward to shaking a few trees, Vinny. I'd like to say, hey, thanks for the opportunity to talk to you and all the people out there too.
Well, thank you for actually, you know, being a politician who's actually trying to change the scumbaggery that runs this country.
Yep.
Most people don't do that. I mean, look, ladies and gentlemen, especially the journalists, I know a couple listen to the show. You got a choice between $75,000 a year company car, company credit card, and being invited to all the fancy parties, but you have to report lies in order to get it. Or you can live hand to mouth, struggle to survive, and report the truth and save your country from scumbaggery.
And sleep well at night too.
Yeah. It's all very well living in comfort, but it's very difficult to live in comfort if you can't even look at yourself in the mirror.
That's dead right, Vinny. That's dead right, mate.
Thank you, Warren Voigt from Democrats for Social Credit. Also, remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is a listener-supported broadcast, has been since 2010. The vast majority of the funding for this radio program comes from you, the listener. If you wish for alternative media to exist in this country that is unbiased, well, actually, that's a lie. Somebody came up to me at Occupy Auckland, Warren, and he said, Vinny, I really like your show and everything because it's unbiased. And I said, no, that's absolutely untrue. It's totally biased, but it's just the kind of bias you want.
That's right. Well, it's one bias or the other, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yep. Exactly. But at least I'm not biased towards false left-right paradigms and stuff. I'm biased towards the truth. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only thing that matters.
And the truth stands on its own, Vinny.
Yeah, it does. unlike the Prime Minister, who has 10 cops rushing from conference to car, as happened last night. Okay, thank you, Warren, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and either start up an automatic payment through the PayPal or the Kiwi Bank today and keep us going. We'll see you again sometime.